All right, for our scripture reading, we're back in Genesis again, chapter 28. Chapter 28 of Genesis. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padanaram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padanaram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padanaram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Okay, coming back to Genesis chapter 28, we'll be looking at this scripture this morning. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, how we thank you that you're always with us. We thank you, Lord, that since we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that you never leave us nor forsake us. We praise you and thank you for that. Whether it's stormy or whether it's sunshine, we thank you, Lord, that you're always there and that we can always count on you to help us through everything that we pass through. And we ask you, Lord, to bless this morning each one of us and help us. We know that there's some that have real difficulties in their life, and we just pray that you'll give them the strength and health that they need, and that they might see that someday that it'll all be over and we'll be in your presence and enjoy all the joys of heaven. But Lord, until then, we ask you to be with us and guide us and help us, and may we be faithful servants of yours. We thank you for your word today. We pray that you'd bless it to our hearts. Help us to get some lessons from the life of Jacob, and to learn something that will be helpful to us in our daily life in this in this world in which we live today. Lord, we ask you to help us and guide us. Do be with our missionaries today. We thank you for each one of them and for the work that they are doing in various places and reaching out to people with the gospel of Christ. We just ask your special blessing upon each one of them. We pray, dear Father, for those who are serving you in various ways. We think of the Genesis Pregnancy Care Center or the Women's Clinic now. We pray for them. We ask your blessings upon them. We pray for all those who are reaching out to help people in their time of need. We pray for our country this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which you have helped us up until this present time. Pray that you'd be with all of our leaders, our president, and those in Congress, and those in the government. We pray that all might look to you for that heavenly wisdom that we talked about this morning in Sunday school. We just ask you, Lord, to bless and guide and help us and lead us in every step that we take, that we might be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, well, we're from this point on in Genesis, we might say that this is the story of Jacob. You know, there's the three primary ones that are involved in the Abrahamic covenant. And God always says that I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here we've already seen something of Jacob, his character. And we wonder, how could God use someone like this? And yet we see that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, right? And so we come here. We found, you remember, we saw last time that Jacob had very subtly stolen, if you will, the birthright from Esau. He tricked his father into giving it to him instead of to Esau. But this, of course, as we know, was in the plan of God from the beginning, because he said that the elder would serve the younger, right? So it's all working together for God in God's plan, and yet Jacob is sort of a shady character, if you will, kind of a con man. But at any rate, God is going to change him. Later, you remember, he becomes not Jacob the swindler, but Israel, a prince with God. That's going to happen, but it'll take some doing, and God will work in his life. So here we find Esau is very, very angry with Jacob, and he's threatened to kill him as soon as his father passes away. He doesn't want to upset his father, so he's waiting for him to die. The only problem is he lived another 43 years. But anyway, He wasn't able to carry through on that plan. So they're sending Jacob away. And his mother, Rebecca, talks to her husband, and she says, you know, I don't want Jacob to marry one of these Canaanite women, like Esau has already done. I think he had two wives from the Canaanites, and they were causing all kinds of problems in the family because they all lived together, you know. And these people had different customs, different ideas, worshipped a different God, and all of that. And so there was friction in the home life. So she says, could we send Jacob back to the homeland that he might find a wife there among those who believe in the true and living God? That's the idea. And from her family. So here we find that Isaac is sending Jacob away. He calls him in and he blesses him. He gives him a special blessing. By this time, Isaac has understood that it doesn't do any good for him to try to promote Esau because God has already rejected him. And so now he blesses Jacob, and he gave him a special charge. He says, do not take a wife from among the Canaanites, but go back to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So this is the plan. First of all, to protect him against Esau, and then also that he might find a wife that he can, among those that would be suitable to the family and that would serve God. Speaking here of Padanaram, I was looking this up because I've read that a number of times, and I wondered, well, what's the difference between Padanaram and Mesopotamia and all these places? It says that Padanaram is the plain of Aram, named after some person, in upper Mesopotamia near the city of Haran. Okay? You wanted to know that, didn't you? Sure you did. But anyway, when you're reading that about this area, you'll know that that's where it is. It's in the upper part of Mesopotamia, where Abraham and his family came from originally. So we find here Isaac blesses Jacob in verse 3. He says, may God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. So again, this is very important because, you know, Jacob, of course, becomes the father of the tribes of Israel. And so God gave the land to him as well as to Abraham originally. The Abrahamic covenant that he made with him, and then it passed it on down to Isaac, and then on down to Jacob, and through Jacob to the 12 sons that he had that made up the country of Israel. So that's important to realize, that God is the one who gave the land to the people of Israel. It is theirs by divine decree. God gave it to them in the covenant. And so here, Isaac is finally pronouncing the blessing upon Jacob that God intended from the very beginning. And to point out the fact that he is the heir to the covenant of Abraham. Notice he speaks here of God Almighty bless thee. This is, you might have heard the song El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Well, this is God Almighty. That's the word that's used here. This is the God Almighty. He's speaking of the name of God that he's using, which speaks of his sovereign power that God is going to use, that he appeared to Abraham as God Almighty, and now continues to be with Jacob in that way, in all of his power and great glory. So, speaking here about what God's going to do. Now, there's a little bit of a change. Speaking about Esau, Esau heard his father say to Jacob, "Don't marry one of the Canaanites," you see. And so he goes to Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and takes one of his daughters to be his wife, thinking, hey, this is going to please mom and dad, right? Because I'm not taking one of the Canaanite women, I'm taking Ishmael's daughter as my wife. So he's trying to get on the good side. Esau continues to try to get the blessing from his father, although it's not going to happen. We read that over in the book of Hebrews. He tried again and again, but he was unable to do it. And God rejected him from that blessing. So we find here that he thought that he would please them, but it didn't work out. Ishmael had also been rejected. Remember, Abraham sent him away. So there's no way Esau can win. It's just that that's the way it was. And God's blessing, special blessings, is going to be on Jacob. All right, so coming on down here, we see he starts out on his trip. And down to verse 10, we find that he has his encounter with God. Now Jacob, apparently, as long as he had been living and all, there's no mention about him ever coming into contact with God until now. And I don't know exactly what he did believe. I mean, he no doubt followed the family traditions and so forth. But here he's going to have a real encounter with the living God. It's going to make a big difference in his life. He set out on his journey from Beersheba, going north towards Haran, and stopped at this one place when it got dark at nighttime, and decided to spend the night there. He took a stone and put it under his head as a pillow. I don't know how soft that would have been, but anyhow, that's what he used. That's what all he had, I guess. And I read several different commentaries on this. I'm not sure exactly how far it was. One said it was 40 miles, one said it was 50 miles, and one said it was 70 miles. So it was somewhere. He traveled quite a ways, and of course he's walking, right? That's quite a ways to walk, isn't it? And no doubt he's tired. So he sets up his little camp here, and it says he in verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Okay, so this, he just settles down to go to sleep. And as he's sleeping, he has this dream. And God appears to him in the dream. Now, you know, in the scriptures, many times we find all these dreams. We think of dreams, you know. A lot of times we don't know whether to accept them or whatnot. But in the scriptures, many times we find that God actually used these dreams to convey a message to the person that he's speaking to. They didn't have any other means, actually. There weren't any, as far as I know, any writings or anything like that for them to read. And so God appeared to him in this dream. We find in many places God directed people in that way. And so we find Jacob's dream. And verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, when it says a ladder, it could have been like a stairway, you know. Some means of going up. I don't know if it was a ladder like we use to, you know, on the buildings, you know, to paint or something. I don't think it was that kind of ladder, probably. You remember, to contrast this, earlier, when the people, when God said, you know, for them to scatter and to go into all the world, you remember? They decided that they were going to settle down in one place, and they built what they called the Tower of Babel. Right? Trying to go, what does it say? To heaven. Right? So there was this type of stairway. It was one of the, they have pictures of those things they called ziggurats. Right? Not cigarettes. Ziggurats. But anyway, they could go up on top of there and then do their worship and so forth, reaching towards heaven. And so here we have this. God has his own stairway to heaven, right? He's got this ladder that goes up to heaven with the angels ascending and descending on it. So you have the way from earth to heaven and the angels coming and going, speaking to me of the care that God has for people on earth, the angels coming and going up and down the stairway or the ladder. And at the top it says, verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it, above the ladder, okay, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, north, east, and west, east, north, and south. Okay? And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here God is speaking to Jacob from above this ladder. And so he's in heaven, we'd say, right? The ladder was going up to heaven. So God speaking from heaven to Jacob, introducing himself, letting him know who he is and what he's going to do in the life of Jacob. He says, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to multiply your people. And you're going to be blessed. And through you and through your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Right. Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Huh? To Jacob. At this time, he was a single man, didn't have any children whatsoever. 77 years old, by the way. Right. On his way to get a bride. And God says that you're going to be greatly blessed. You're going to have a multitude of people, your seed. And through you and through your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. What in the world is he talking about here? We find that if you look over with me in John chapter 1. Find it here. When Jesus was choosing his disciples, right at the very beginning of his ministry, it's very interesting. beginning at verse 43. Let's read this little passage here, beginning at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Does that sound like anything we ever have read? Huh? What do you think? The angels of God are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. That's what he called himself all the time, right? Okay. And we saw over here in the dream that Jacob had, the angels were ascending and descending upon the ladder that goes from earth to heaven. Okay. So, there has to be some connection, right? You know, it's interesting. I had someone point it out. Nathanael, when Jesus saw Nathanael, he said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, no deceit. You know. In other words, hey, we've got an honest Jew here. What do you think? Whereas Jacob was known for his dishonesty, wasn't he? Right? So I think Jesus is alluding here to the story about Jacob. He says, you know, Nathanael, you're not like Jacob. You're honest. And he says, how do you know me? Jesus said, well, I saw you before Philip ever called you. You were sitting under the fig tree. I don't know what else he was doing, but he took that to mean that Jesus had knowledge beyond human knowledge, that he was, she said, the Son of God and the King of Israel. He was convinced through that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the one that was to come and reign over Israel. And Jesus said, wow, you know, that's all it took for you to believe? You're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see heaven open, right? You remember when heaven opened? When Jesus was baptized? Heaven opened, right? And the Father said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, right? Heaven opened. And Jesus also said, you know, talking about the way to heaven, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. Right? He's the way. He is the only way of salvation. The only way from God, from earth to heaven, the only way to God is through the Lord Jesus, right? And here he pictures himself as that ladder where the angels were coming and going. He says here, they're ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So the angels at different times in the life of Jesus when he was here on earth, they came down to help him, didn't they? You remember? After his temptation in the wilderness, the angels came and comforted Jesus. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, after he had suffered so much, the angels came and comforted him and were with him. So they came up and down. And when he arose again from the dead, you remember it was the angels. The angel that announced to the women that he had risen from the dead. It was the angels that were there, coming and going upon the Son of Man. And Jesus is the way of salvation. So I thought that was good to think about there, that he is the only way that we can go to the Father. He is the only way. And he refers to the ladder here as himself, the way to heaven, the only way. I had another reference in Acts 4 where Peter speaks of this. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the crippled man that was healed. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. See, he is the way. He is the only way of salvation. There is no one else that we can look to that would give us salvation. It's just the gospel message, isn't it? Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He arose again the third day. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So we can rejoice in that. And coming back over to Peter, Jacob, there he is. Coming back to Jacob, we find that after he saw all this, he woke up and he said, wow, this is the house of God. You know, this is the gateway to heaven. He put it all together. He said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Can you imagine? You remember who Jacob was? He was a homebody. He had never left home as far as we know. He had always been there. And now here he is out on his own, away from everyone else, and it's dark, and he has this strange dream, God speaking to him, and all that. Can you imagine how he must have felt? And he said, I tell you what, he says, I'm going to make this pillar, that is like a signpost, so to speak, and he anointed it with oil and named the place Bethel, the house of God. And says he's going to come back then. We find later that he does come back and worships God in that place. And then Jacob vowed this vow. It makes you wonder if this Jacob isn't still trying in a way to bargain with God. He says, if the Lord is with me, and if he will bless me, and if he will give me all these things, then the Lord will be my God. You know? But that's not the, you know, I was just thinking about that. Is that the way we feel? You know? Lord, if you bless me, if you're with me, if you help me, then I'll serve you. Huh? Or are we willing to just give ourselves to him and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Work in me. Do what you will with me, you see. And this is, I think Jacob still has to come to that place. He has the right intentions. He's vowing a vow to God and all of that, but it seems like he's still holding back. He still has to grow some more in order to be that submissive servant of God that he later becomes. So anyway, he says, if you'll bring me back to this place, then you'll be my God. And this will be the house of God, and I will give a tenth unto you. So here we find the tithe again. Abraham gave the tithe to Melchizedek, you remember? Here Jacob is promising to give a tithe to God and of his possessions. This seems to be something that we find throughout the scriptures. The giving of 10% to the work of God. And it's a good place to start, I think, in our giving. If we can give more, then we should do that as well. But at any rate, we find here Jacob getting started off on his adventure and meeting up with God. I'm sure he wasn't counting on that. And the Lord is working in his life and promising him that he's going to be with him and bless him. And through him, all the world would be blessed. Isn't that wonderful? Here's this prophecy again of the coming of Christ who blesses the entire world. And through him, we have salvation. Through him, we can have eternal life, be able to go and be with the Lord in heaven. This is the reason that we partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering the Lord Jesus and all that he's done for us, to show that we are believers and that we remember him and his sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. So we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. We'll sing number 707.